Today on Life Talk.
I've noticed something strange in the body of Christ, that many people who claim to have ministries, to have been called, and they say, I've got a ministry of this, that, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I'm whatever. But some of the people who claim that are some of the most unaccountable people I know of.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
It doesn't take long when reading the New Testament letters written by Paul, Peter, James, John, and Jude that false teachers were a big issue in the days of the early church, as they are today. The apostles of Jesus regularly mention false teachers, false prophets, and deceivers. In the book of Titus, Paul places several of these false deceivers in his crosshairs and instructs Titus exactly how to deal with them. Since false teachers still abound, Paul's instructions couldn't be more relevant. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, Confronting False Teachers, from our series on the book Titus.
Last time we looked at what healthy church leadership looks like, and Paul listed character qualities. He didn't list degrees or IQ or natural talent, but everything he gave us for leadership qualities had to do with character qualities and lifestyle that should accompany godly leadership. And we close with verse 9, which talks about a spiritual leader's commitment to the Word of God. And he says this in verse 9, holding fast. Everybody say holding tight. There's some things you better let go of quick, and there's other things you better hold tight to. Holding tight the faithful Word, as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort. Now, look why he needs to hold fast the Word of God, so that he can exhort and convict those who contradict. Now, notice one of the reasons a church leader must be, folks, he must be a man of the Word, so that by sound doctrine, the church leadership might exhort and convict people who contradict. So in the second half of chapter 1, Paul is going to launch into a description of false teachers who contradict sound teaching. If you were to go church shopping, you would be amazed how many churches no longer teach sound doctrine. People who just get up and teach the Bible as it is to people as they are, their ranks are thinning in these last days. So Paul is going to describe false teachers for us tonight and show us how they contradict sound teaching of the Word of God. They come against it, they twist it, they skew it, they resist it. So let's look at verse 10. Now here he's immediately describing false teachers. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. Now, tonight we're going to be looking at several key words and what they mean out of the Greek language, because the New Testament was written in Koine Greek, the common everyday Greek language of that day, and a little smattering of Latin, but primarily Greek. So we're going to look at what these words meant in the original Greek. So insubordinate meant and means uncooperative, with a defiant attitude towards duly appointed authority. False teachers, you will find, will not receive the authority of God in another person, and they resist the authority of God in their own life. False teachers are accountable to no one. I've noticed something strange in the body of Christ, that many people who claim to have ministries, to have been called, and they say, I've got a ministry of this, that, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I'm whatever. But some of the people who claim that are some of the most unaccountable people I know of. They're not accountable to anybody. They don't have a church home. They don't call anybody pastor. They're not accountable when they ought to be the most accountable. I've always contended that if God gives you a parachurch ministry, which means a ministry where you go out and you have a ministry beyond the local church, you know, feeding the hungry, teaching, preaching, whatever it may be, that you ought to be sent out of a local church with your local church's blessing so that you are undercovering. But so many of them are not. They are rebels at heart, these false teachers, and they refuse to recognize authority. They hate authority. Now, the same Greek word for insubordinate is used to describe disobedient children. You recall the Old Testament story of when Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rose up against Moses and Aaron. Remember that? And they challenged their authority. They rejected the leadership of Moses and the priesthood of Aaron, and they came against them. Now, they said to them, paraphrase, they said, "Who do you think you are? You're not the only ones that have heard from God. We've heard from God too. So why are you exalting yourself above the congregation?" And as with all rebellions, they gathered around themselves people who agreed with them and were of the same spirit, and they rejected God-given authority. And you remember what happened. Moses said, "Well, let's meet tomorrow at the tent of meeting, and let's see what God has to say." So Korah, Dathan, and Abiram showed up, and when they showed up, Moses and Aaron showed up as well, and suddenly the ground opened up and swallowed them whole and closed over them again. And that was the end of that. Discussion closed. I think I'm going, "You da man, you da man, you da man." I think that's what I'm saying to Moses after that. But God said, listen, God was essentially saying to all of Israel, when I put my hand on somebody to lead, be careful what you say, be careful what you do. Now, it's not that leadership can't be criticized. They can, or many times they should. But if you're trying to undermine that leadership, destroy that leadership, undercut that leadership, if that leadership hasn't sinned, and you're not talking about open sin, but you're just talking about, "I don't like the way they do what they do. I don't like the way they dress, the way they talk. I don't like the way they handle themselves." If it's something like that, spurious like that, and you begin to undercut them and try to take people out from under their leadership and ruin what God is trying to do through them, then my understanding is you will meet the God who sent them. I'm real careful what I say about any spiritual leadership. Again, I'm not telling you can't criticize leadership. I'm not telling you that leadership is perfect. Moses wasn't perfect. Aaron wasn't perfect. The only perfect leader ever came along was Jesus, and they didn't like him either. But the bottom line is that, yes, leadership has faults. Leadership makes mistakes. But you got to be careful that you don't try to stop what God has anointed them to do. When you get in there, then if the leader's wise, he just turns the critics over to God and keeps on going and lets God deal with them. And sometimes he deals with them in ways you can see. Sometimes he deals with them in ways you never know about. But he deals with them. Now, then they are also described, that is, these false teachers, as idle talkers. That means they talk nonsense. All of the cults, folks, talk nonsense. Have you ever really investigated Mormon teaching or Jehovah's Witness teaching or Buddhists, Hindus, New Agers? All of their claims are nonsense. What Mormonism, for instance, is built on is pure nonsense, and yet they get away with it in amazing ways. And the only way they do, and they do proselyte a lot of Christians, you know how they do it? Because Christians don't know their Bible. If you know your Bible, you would never believe what a Mormon tells you. And that's the truth. I'm just telling you the truth tonight. At Buddhists, it goes without saying. Jehovah's Witnesses, there's all kinds of fallacies and falsehoods in what they teach. But gullible Christians who don't know the Bible fall for it. And we're going to see in a moment what happens to them. But their doctrines are full of holes. And so Paul says, these false teachers, Titus, that I'm telling you to deal with are full of nonsense. Yet people who embrace the nonsense are very often very vocal about it, and they become what Paul calls disputers. Disputers argue that right is wrong, truth is error, light is darkness, and Paul says they should be confronted by church leadership armed with sound doctrine. I'm going to say it again. Paul says they should be confronted. And how do you confront them? Argue with them? No. Listen, I've learned a long time ago, the only thing that changes anybody anytime is the truth of God's word. That's it. Nothing else. You can argue all day long and it will get you nowhere. But if you know the Bible and you can deal with somebody according to the truth of the word of God, that's the only way anybody will ever be changed. And it's the only way you're ever going to shut the devil down. It is written. So they're full of nonsense. And then he goes on to say that false teachers are deceivers. The Greek word used here is found nowhere else in the whole New Testament. And it means to deceive one's own mind. In other words, they deceive themselves. They're self-deceived. It's one thing to deceive other people, but if you're deceiving you, you're in big trouble. If you're deceiving you, if you're convincing yourself over something that is wrong, then you're in real trouble. Paul says about these false teachers who are deceiving themselves, he says, these are the kind of people who beguile unstable souls. He says, they creep into silly women's homes who are laden down with many sins and seduce women into this false teaching. In other words, they pick soft targets, easy targets. Paul the Apostle predicted in the last days, look what he says about people in the last days, false teachers. He says, imposters will go from bad to worse. Look at what they go through. Here's their cycle. Deceiving and what, everybody? Being deceived. See, what you sow, you reap. And if you're sowing deception, you're also going to be getting deceived yourself. So deceiving and being deceived. That's the false teachers. And our nation and our world is infested with them. Now, next, Paul singles out a particular group of false teachers. And these are the ones that were bugging him all the time, especially those, he says, of the circumcision. Now, if you've been with me very long, I've taught many times about the Judaizers, those who taught that you had to mix Old Testament law with New Testament grace in order to be saved.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
Judaizers were totally against the message, salvation by faith alone. See, how are you saved the minute you put your faith in Christ? Period. You don't have to do anything, jump through any hoops. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God. Everybody say with me, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So we are not saved by mixing faith with works. But the Judaizers said, you've got to mix your faith in Jesus with the works that the Old Testament required. Circumcision being one of those. And the Judaizers were the most obstinate, difficult, and persistent of Paul's enemies. They dogged his every step. They subverted his converts. As soon as he won somebody to Christ, right along behind him came the Judaizers, grabbing this person, saying, he didn't give you the whole picture. You need to mix your faith with works in order to be saved. So Paul always had the feeling, right when I win a bunch of people to Jesus, I got these Judaizers coming along behind me telling them they're not really saved yet. They've got to mix Old Testament law with New Testament grace. They undermined his teaching. They distorted the gospel. Now notice what he says about them. Verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped. That's from a Greek word, that word stop, the idea of clogging up a water pipe so that water can't flow through it. In other words, let me paraphrase it for you. Shut your mouth. Or we would say they need to be shut up. I love Paul because Paul was really tough when he needed to be tough. He said their mouths ought to be shut up. who subvert whole households. Look at what they do. Teaching things that they ought not teach for the sake of dishonest gain. Now notice how Paul is anything but passive here, folks. I want you to please catch this. He tells Titus to fight, resist, confront, come against, face off with these false teachers with truth. He said you're going to have to silence them, and the way you're going to have to silence them is with sound doctrine. If Paul were alive today and taught such things, let me tell you what would be said about him. And I know what would be said about him because I know what is sometimes said about me. Okay? Don't judge, people would tell Paul. Don't be a hater. Now, nobody's called me a hater yet. Be tolerant. I have been told that. Walk in love. I haven't been told that. But I have been told don't judge. Now, that's the nonsense, folks, that is spawned by the hellish philosophy of political correctness. Let me tell you about PC. Political correctness, in my estimation, is the most dangerous worldview, philosophical mindset to come down the pike since evolution. You know why? Because political correctness muzzles God's truth from being spoken. And you have no idea. Everybody in this room has been affected by it, and some of you aren't aware of it. But you start to say something at work, or you start to say something out in public, and you shut yourself up. And you know why you do? Because you say to yourself, I can't offend. I don't know about you, but the Jesus I read about offended people all the time. And you know what? Jesus offended me when I first heard the gospel. The gospel offended me. You know the Bible says the gospel is a stumbling block and a rock of offense. But often, though you're not aware of it, you don't say what perhaps you ought to say because you have been programmed by the message of political correctness that you should never offend anybody. And if you offend somebody, you're not walking in love. You know what that is? Nonsense. That's nonsense. If I could speak to the whole church in America in one meeting, I would tell them, shake off the shackles of PC. Because it's keeping people from preaching the gospel, telling the truth, talking about sin, talking about hell, telling people they need to be saved because they're sinners who need to be saved by grace. We won't do it because we don't want to offend. But if you're going to live for Jesus, you're going to offend. Can I just tell you? If you're going to live for Jesus, you're going to offend people. That's why it says, he that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Why are you going to suffer persecution? Because you've offended somebody. People are offended all the time. You might as well offend them with the gospel. I mean, everybody's offended about everything. I'm so sick of hearing people offended about this and that and the other, enraged about this, outraged about that. Get over it. Grow up. Put your tinker toys down. But that's what PC has done to our nation. It's turned us into a bunch of squabbling, crying babies who are always offended about something. Not Paul. Paul didn't worry about it. He said, don't be passive. These false teachers have to be stopped. They got to be silenced by sound doctrine. Have you noticed that PC is designed to silence only conservative biblical speech? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed with me that the preachers of PC don't abide by it when they're dealing with you who don't agree with them? Have you noticed that? People who are not in the church and don't live a godly lifestyle and don't believe in Christ, and we would call them liberals or leftists or ungodly. The Bible would call them ungodly. If you stand up and disagree with them, they are anything but tolerant of you. But if they say something that offends you, they expect you to eat it and fully be tolerant of them. I'm tired of it. I'm just going to come out with the truth. Come on, everybody. Speak the truth in love. Paul contends that when speech is evil or ungodly and is used to overthrow the true Christian faith, it should be answered and defeated, by biblical truth. Paul points out that the false teachers are also, look what they do, they subvert whole households. Subvert means to overthrow and to destroy. The favorite method of all cult systems, like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, is to invade the entire home and take it captive to false teaching. We've all heard the knock on the door and looked out there and seen two guys standing there in black with a white shirt and a black tie? And we know what they are. They're Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. And if you dare to open the door, you're going to catch it. You better be ready. And what are they there to do? I'm going to tell you what they're there to do. Subvert your household. Y'all are so quiet tonight. Do you have a hard day? Subvert your household. They want to overthrow and destroy your household. Isn't it interesting that the teaching and the philosophy and the theology your home embraces can either bless it or destroy it? If you receive the false teaching of a false teacher, it subverts and overthrows and destroys your household. As a pastor, I've seen it done. I won't go into the whole story, but in another church that I was pastoring, there was this wonderful couple in our church. They were just an older couple, and everybody loved them. They were just lovable, likable. They were sort of the mom and pop of the church. Everybody knew them. And somebody one day, without my knowing it and a lot of us being aware of it, a false teacher wormed his way into their orbit, into their life, and began to share things with them that were anti-Semitic. Began to tell them how terrible the Jewish people are, how they're evil, how they're wicked. Really, it was Nazism. And then began to teach them that Jesus was never truly Jewish. He was Gentile, and it's wrong to say that he was Jewish. And this false teacher totally destroyed them. They left the church. They broke fellowship with everybody at our church. They began to run with only this guy and the people that were with him. And when the man died, I'm not even going to tell you what he said about Jesus to me. He cursed Jesus to me. This man who used to amen me, sit on the front row, who was a father of the church, had been totally corrupted by false teaching. Folks, it matters what you believe. That's why I take you through books here on Wednesday night. I want you to know the Word of God. I want you to be grounded in the truth. Now notice what the false teacher's motive is. Here's his motive: teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. Uh-oh. What are they after? They're after the victim's money. Not just their soul, their money. He calls it dishonest gain because the way they get it is through falsehood. Our nation, now I'm going to get real with you tonight. If I offend you, oh well. Because I got to get real with you tonight. Our nation is infested with, and I'm putting it in quotes here, preachers and teachers who profess to represent Christ, but if you listen to them, if you listen to them, all they ever talk about is money. If you were to take their messages and put them all together and break it down into percentages of how often in their messages they harp on, talk about, expound on money, it's 50%, 60%, 70% of the time or more. And they empty the pocketbooks of their listeners by false promises of extravagant blessing for having, quote, sown your financial seed into their ministry. Now, let me be real clear so I'm not misunderstood. I'm not saying you shouldn't support some ministries. You should. I do. But what I am saying is this: if all you hear them talk about is money and how giving to them will bring you incredible, outlandish blessings, be careful. You know how I know some of it is nonsense and false and a lie, what they say? Because when they tell you, if you send in your check, then God is going to do this, this, and this, and this for the rest of the entire year. If they really believe that, they'd empty their own bank account. Can I just be real tonight? If I know that if I invest, say, $100 tonight, and I'm going to get back $5,000 by the end of the year, and that's good for every $100 I put in, I'm going straight to my bank, and I am emptying it out, and I'm putting it in. But they don't do that, do they? Have you ever noticed that the ones who preach it are virtually the only ones who ever get rich off of it?
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3030. 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to LifeTalk.